Has your day ever been totally thrown off by a seemingly innocuous bump in the road, like your kiddo waking up a little earlier than expected, or your spouse surprising you with takeout after you already started cooking dinner? Does flipping between work brain and home life brain feel like a monumental struggle? Are you unable to pause mid-task, have a quick unrelated conversation, and then just jump right back in to where you were? How are all these related? These are all part of your executive function, specifically flexibility. Get ready to learn about your brain. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend Patricia Sun. We are continuing our series on executive function, the CEO of your brain. And I just can't explain ADHD without discussing executive function. So if you're not familiar, you can listen to the overview episode, which was number 53. And we're covering many different facets that go into executive function. And today is specifically on flexibility. The definition of flexible is capable of bending easily without breaking, or of a person ready and able to change so as to adapt to different circumstances. So what does this mean for us as ADHDers? Well, capable of bending easily without breaking, that's a tough one for me. Bending slightly when I'm not ready does feel like breaking. It's like my brain gets stuck. I always picture this little robot who's programmed to only go one way, and so when it runs into the wall, it just kind of like thump, 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 crashing into the wall and back up a step, tries again, like repeatedly just bump, bump. When I have to switch tasks, it's like somebody just stuck a wall in front of me. And rather than addressing the wall, the task, I just kind of run into it for a few times before I can actually do something about it, like change course or climb over it or whatever the action is. It just takes me a minute to make a change. Adapting just takes longer. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of brain power that goes into doing something different than the course I was on. Because if I switch into doing something else, I'm using up valuable brain power that I could be using for something else. It's like I don't want to waste valuable resources, people. So where can we see in an adult with ADHD where flexibility issues show up time and again? Well, this one's kind of a surprising one because to many people, when they look at someone with ADHD, they see someone who's over here, over there, constantly doing different things. And so they would think, oh, you're probably a flexible person because you're constantly shifting gears. But there's a difference between when my brain chooses to go from here to there or my physical body is going from here to there. That's a different thing than having to shift gears when it wasn't my choice. When someone else or some other situation or circumstance causes me to then have to change course unexpectedly. Because when I choose to do it, it's expected. I picked that. Whereas when something swoops in and then I'm forced to make a choice that is unexpected and I'm not ready for it. And that's where you see the flexibility oxymoron, if you will, come through. To me, this is a telltale sign of ADHD when someone is struggling with flexibility on their own, no problem. Yet when other things come up, there's the struggle. Because flexibility also involves your transitions, which is part of task initiation. When you're flipping between tasks, you're having to initiate a new task, which is stopping the thing you were doing. That's a change. And then you have to switch to the new thing. So that's two changes. You go, say someone pops over from work, wants to have a conversation. You have to stop what you're doing, start the conversation with them, then you have to stop that conversation, and then you have to restart whatever you were doing. That's actually four specific instances where you're changing all to get back to where you just were. That is hard. Another place we see transitions are things like if you're a working mom and then switching to home life, that time where you're switching your brain from work brain to home brain. That's hard. This applies too when you're doing mom work tasks, like you're trying to clean up the kitchen or wrap up lunch and your kids are asking you questions and you're trying to flip-flop and go between getting this task complete and answering their questions. And your brain is thinking about what do we need to be doing next? Trying to stop thoughts on cleaning up lunch, engage in conversation about who's fighting over what, or I'm bored, or whatever it is. And then you've got to stop that, come back to fixing up lunch. That's one of the ways we see all of these incomplete tasks in our wake, because our brain was not flexible in switching back to where we started. It just went off on the new course. Another place we see this is in hyperfocus. It can keep you from switching when you really do need to be switching. There's a lack of flexibility in stopping the hyperfocus and switching to something else. We can see this in perfectionism, where we can't be like, good enough. That's good enough. I'll just keep going. No, I have got to make this exactly what it needs to be in my mind and not a lesser version of that. We don't have that flexibility there. For me, stopping anything before I'm quote unquote finished, I really like to complete the task and then move on to something else. I hate pausing in the middle of something if I wasn't planning to. It's different if I say I'm going to work on this for 10 minutes and I know that that is coming. That's a hard transition for me, but I can do it because I planned ahead and knew because I have to practice that. I'm not good at always. Let's be clear here. But it's different when I am trying to order groceries and I just want to finish the groceries before I start doing something else. And then, of course, with kids, they don't ever follow your plan. You get distracted and then you realize 3 hours later, you never ordered groceries and now you can't pick them up. There's no more time slots today. So this flexibility really leads into frustration and anger and a lot of emotions when things aren't going like we thought or would like. We can see this in changing our plans. It just derails the day. If we already set out that we were going to do the zoo and then it starts raining, it takes us more time to come up with a plan B because we were already on that path. Because when we have to make changes on the fly, we're using up our brain power. And you can see very quickly where the decision fatigue comes in. If we're having to choose constantly all morning, all afternoon, by the time we get to bedtime, our brain is just done. It is used up at the full tank and we got nothing left. So I know that if I had to come up with a whole new plan early in the day, I'm not going to have that energy for later in the day when I might really need it. I also see flexibility issues with conversations. If I'm really excited about something and I want to keep talking about it and the other person's already moved on to something else, I'm really bummed because I still wanted to talk about that first thing. Another communication area that I see this in is writing emails where I'll get stuck on a phrase or wording. Flexible Patricia could just be like, hey, that's cool. Doesn't have to be perfect and move on. Whereas I get stuck on, I have to make this right here. Your brain kind of skips and gets stuck there and can't move forward. And I especially see this on days where it's just not a good day. If I'm struggling a lot, it's even harder to be gracious with myself and say, you know what? I'm not having my greatest wordsmith day. Like, just put it on paper and move on. Instead, I sit in this spiral like, no, I've got to find the right one. I got to find the right one. Rather than just being like, oh, you know what? This just isn't happening today. And either setting it aside or just sending a like B+ email. Another one of my favorites in this area is switching topics. When I'm working on something and someone asks me an unrelated question and I respond, what? Like I didn't hear them, but I did hear them. It's like my brain just needed some time to catch up and process. Oh, what do my students call it? The beach ball of death on your Mac where the little spinny circle just goes round and round and your computer's thinking, but it's not actually doing anything yet. And you just need a second to catch up. I love following Jen Has ADHD on Instagram and she calls it buffering. And then I was like, oh my goodness, it's just like the beach ball of death where, you know, buffering in videos, like we don't have this problem as much now, but back when the internet was a lot slower, you know, you would turn on a video and it would say buffering when the little spinny wheel would go around. And yes, that's it. Like my brain just needs a moment. It's not that I didn't hear what they said. I heard the question. My brain just hadn't processed it yet. And usually I will then turn around and answer the question before they finish repeating the question. And then they look at me like I'm crazy because obviously I heard it, so why did I say what? But yet I answered. It's very confusing for them. And I usually just have to say like, oh, well, sorry, I was just took me a second to catch up with you there, or something like that, because it happens so much. And the last way I see this a lot is navigating the constant sensory input. I'm going to talk more about sensory stuff in a couple of episodes, but there's always new input coming in, and we're constantly having to evaluate what do we need to take in and react to and make a change to that stimulus, or the opposite, can we just deflect that stimulus and we don't need it and it's extraneous? Whereas for us, all the things are coming in, you know, at loud volume. We're constantly assessing all of that. So we already have less brain power to keep up with other things than to have to make a change based on that input. It's a lot. So how do other people interpret this? They might see us as being rigid or unyielding. Perfectionists might feel that we're frustrating or that they're frustrated, that we get focused on the wrong thing or easily agitated. And they might feel like we don't like them because we lash out at them when they interrupt us. And this is something that I have to be hyper aware of, because I do get very grumpy when people interrupt me, and I don't want my family to feel like they are a burden to me. So I have to often say either, hold on, let me finish the sentence and I'll finish writing it out, and then make myself pause and listen. Or when I do lash out, is to make sure I go back and say, I'm sorry I lashed out. I got frustrated that I got interrupted and I didn't want to lose my train of thought. It's definitely a hard place to navigate. But there's always a positive side to who we are. And in this struggle with flexibility, we do have a really great drive for excellence. When we're on something and we want to get it done, like, we get things done and we want it to be done well, and we want to make it happen. We want to be successful when we're on it and, like, locked, loaded, and running on full blast. Also, when we find a system that works for us, we want to do it that way because it works. We know what works and we want to use that. And that's not always a bad thing. Being able to say, this works for me, is so empowering. And hey, it gets things done. That's great. And then once we are familiar with a new situation and we know what to expect out of it, some of us are actually quite flexible and very quick to adapt. Once we have the, like, basics down, we can really think outside the box and creatively apply what we know in a new way. So I've already talked some of how I see this in my life, but I'll go a little more in depth here. My perfectionism is definitely one of the areas where I see flexibility struggles, and I've made huge strides with cognitive behavioral therapy and working on that and being okay with good enough. I'm also getting better at setting myself up for success when I build in transition time. This is a hard one because I'm very time blind and I forget to consider that extra time that I need, but when I do and I create that space for my brain to switch tasks or to switch mindsets, then it makes it so much better. I also like to batch my tasks that are similar together so that I can work on all of them at the same time. So for example, when I record podcast episodes, I always try to record several at one time. So at least do two or three. Four gets a little iffy. My starts to peter out after a while, but I try to get two, three, four tops done at one time because my brain's in that mode and I can stay there and knock it out. But in mom life, that's not always a realistic thing. So sometimes I can't necessarily batch in one. And in motherhood, sometimes those batches don't look like a 3-hour block of getting something done. It could just be on this day, my tasks are all related to this topic. So for example, the way I organize my weeks, Mondays are home days. So on Monday is when I schedule anything that needs to be done at the house. For example, things like changing air filters or cleaning up something or organizing a closet. All of those things I put on a Monday because Monday is my at-home day. I'm not scheduling other things, going other places. This is the day that I'm going to make stuff happen at home. And that gets me in that mindset of in my house, and I'm not having to make so many transitions throughout the day. I mean, above and beyond what moms do all day long. Anyways, I've also done a lot of work with mundane tasks, batching those together and making them as automatic as possible. Because every time we have to make a decision on something, we're using up our brain power. So if I can make those things happen smoothly with a plan, we do them regularly, then I'm not using my brain power to get them done. I don't have to think about laundry. I have a plan in place. I follow the plan. I do the things, and I'm not lamenting over Mount Laundrius. I'm not thinking about how am I going to squeeze in the load in order to have this thing ready for whatever I need. It just happens. And that allows me to be more flexible in the rest of my day because the lame, boring things that have to happen are already accounted for. Mama, is your morning defined by chaos or by calm? Are you hunting down lost shoes and keys and permission slips all before the sun has even come up? Are you flying out the door, running to the car, arms full of stuff that never made it into your bag? Are you still wearing pajamas at lunchtime more days than not? No matter what stage you are in your motherhood, whether it's frenzied exiting with older kids or flopping around the house with littles, I have to ask, does your morning look like what you want it to look like? I know that you want your morning to be more together. You want less nagging, less yelling. You want less frumpy, lumpy unproductiveness. You want to feel confident in how you start your day. And you want your children to have that confidence too. So I am so excited. I am finally finished writing The Disorganized Mom's Guide to a Peaceful Morning. It's here. I put this together just for you. It's down and dirty basics to get you on your way to a better morning and fast. It's 5 quick videos straight to the point of cutting chaos. Each video is delivered to your inbox with 1 action step because I want this to be doable today. I'll be right there with you to remind you to do your baby step in case you forget and get off track. And it's totally free because I want you to take the next step in the right direction now. If you're listening to this in real time, we are going to kick off this together. On October 22nd, we are going to start the Peaceful Mama Morning Challenge, and all of us are going to band together and work on the goal of bringing more calm into our mornings together. I want you in the Motherhood and ADHD Facebook group. You can share what's working for you and ask questions of the other mamas to brainstorm ideas if you get stuck. So hit pause right now and sign up for the video series, The Disorganized Mom's Guide to a Peaceful Morning. It's on my website, patriciasung.com/peaceful-morning. And link arms with like-minded mamas. I am so excited to see how your mornings move to a happier mama and a happier family. Okay, so now what do we do about our flexibility? Here's what works for me. Of course, as I always mention, cognitive behavioral therapy has made a huge difference in me. So if that's an option for you, I highly recommend finding somebody that you mesh well with and talking to them. Also, having an awareness, knowing where your flexibility really kicks you in the rear frequently will allow you to see the patterns and then start to formulate a plan on what you can do to work around those and not get kicked quite so hard the next time. Having a loose plan B without going down the anxiety rabbit hole. So when something comes in that you weren't expecting and you have to make a new plan, very quickly focus on the main thing that you're going to need to make a change for. Because my gut is to say, okay, well, now I have to do this and this and this and then this. And I start thinking about the next 23 steps of what I've got to modify because of the one change. And that gets overwhelming. So just focus on the one thing you can do right now, put out the fire, and then move forward rather than spinning yourself in the little gerbil wheel of anxiety. Next step, outsourcing. If you're struggling with a task that frequently gets interrupted or you're having to make changes for, can you get somebody else to do that job? Is there someone else in your family who is better equipped to take care of that? Think about your kids too. If there's certain chores that just aren't fitting with you, can you teach one of your kids how to do it? Can someone else at work do that job? Can you hire someone else to take care of it? Can you get that off your plate somehow? If you struggle like I do with people asking you questions and interrupting you, think about what you can say in those situations. You have a little like one-liner rehearsed that when people interrupt you, that you can explain to them, I'm not mad at you, but unless this is an emergency, I can't talk about this right now, or whatever the right wording is for you. And also set the stage to explain if you're doing something where you really shouldn't be interrupted or prefer not to be interrupted. Can you tell the other people around you, hey, I need this many minutes to work on this without being interrupted, and get your kids started on something that they can do that's not going to require your help? This is a training exercise. You have to train them on how to do this, how to be independent for however many minutes you need. And obviously that varies with age and capabilities, but you can teach your kids to stay busy for a certain amount of time so that you can get things done that really require your full-on brain power. I mean, obviously, if you're at work, you can just put a sign on your door if you get a door at work. Some people don't, that says like, hey, don't bother me. But obviously with your kids, you have to explain that up front and set them up to succeed. Because if you just hole up and get irritated at everybody for bothering you, your kids, we're setting them up to fail. They don't know what to do in order to fulfill your expectations. So we can train them to do that. Also thinking about when you need that uninterrupted time, where does that best fit in your day? If you know you need to make some important phone calls, when's a time where you're less likely to be interrupted? And the final one is predictability and routine. I know that our ADHD insides kind of, you know, curdle at the thought of predictability and routine, but it truly is so good for us. And I'm actually thinking about creating a course for you all of like, how do you institute routines in an ADHD friendly way to make your life more efficient and more smooth? And like, what does that look like when you're gut says, when you hear the word routine. So if that's something that you think would be helpful, please send me a note. Tell me like, what are you struggling with? I really want this to be useful for you. And if you're giving me feedback, like that's how I can make sure that it fits what you want. But yeah, that routine aspect of my life, like the things that have to get done, laundry, meal prep, cleaning stuff, like I don't like doing any of that stuff. But I have a system in place that those things get done on a regular basis. It kind of runs smoothly. If something terrible happens, like, you know, we get a flu bug or my husband's out of town and I can't get to those things in the like normal schedule, it's okay because I've already been keeping up with them. They're all caught up. So if I skip laundry for 3 or 4 days, we're still going to have plenty of underwear because we're all caught up. And then I'll just catch up after everyone's done with the stomach flu. I cannot speak highly enough of how much routines and rhythms, if you like that word better, or traditions, like whatever word sounds better to you that you don't want to go bleh at, like they have made such a huge difference in my life. So, mama, I so much want you to be in the Peaceful Mama Morning Challenge we're doing. We are starting today. So if you haven't signed up yet to make your morning peaceful, please go over to my website. It's patriciasung.com/peaceful-morning and get in there. All of us mamas, we are going to work on making our mornings more peaceful and calm and start out our day on the right foot. Now, we are going to be talking about executive function for, I think, 3 more episodes. So these are the doozies coming up, things like emotional regulation and self-monitoring. And I obviously saved the best for last because they are something. So knowledge is power. And the more you know about how your ADHD brain works, the more you can use your strengths to your advantage and bumper pad your weaknesses. We're not trying to change who we are, but we are trying to find ways to feel confident in the way that we run our lives with purpose. And I want that for you so much, mama. So I hope to see you in the Peaceful Mama Morning Challenge. You can join us in the Facebook group. It's called Motherhood and ADHD, where we'll all be chatting and brainstorming ideas when we get stuck and cheering each other on. And yeah, I hope you have an awesome week. And we'll talk soon, successful mama. Thank you for listening to Motherhood and ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodinadhd.com.